Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to Comic Confidential, the weekly show where we discuss our favorite things from popular culture. My name is Troy.
And my name is Cade. And a new day is here.
A new day has dawned.
The Lord and Savior, Zack Snyder, has returned.
No.
And no. Has blessed us with
I want to start this presence. Again. Yeah, he has, hasn't he?
He has.
There was a lot of presents.
Oh, boy, isn't there? All 4 hours of it.
4 hours. Although, see, I wonder if I've been gypped, or maybe Australian viewers have been gypped.
Ours is shorter, isn't it?
It is shorter.
I fucking knew it.
Yeah. So, the whole thing with the runtime of... Oh. And of course, we're talking about Zack Snyder's Justice League, by the way.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. The whole reason this show came back is for this exact reason.
Yeah.
Also, hey, major spoilers all the way through.
Yeah.
You think we're not going to... Like, what are you doing if you haven't seen this movie?
Yeah. What have you been doing? Actually, I know a lot of people who haven't even watched all of it yet.
How?
I don't know.
No, I mean, how could you? Like, it's only been out for a week, man.
Yeah, this is only a partial review.
Yeah. We're just doing the part one and part two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, heaps of spoilers, so keep that in mind.
Yeah,
and they absolutely. Might be right from the start. Who knows?
Definitely. Absolutely they will be. So if you haven't watched all of the Zack Snyder's Justice League, now is the time to turn off and we'll catch you sometime in the future.
Get out of here.
Yeah, catchyoulater.com/you.
Ooh, damn. It's very personal. So anyway, 4 hours and 2 minutes was the supposed runtime.
Yeah.
3 hours and 52 minutes on binge, mate. What's that about?
Yeah, I don't know. Something's fishy
What's
there.
What's that, 10 minutes?
I wonder if there was a credit thing. Like, maybe there's something different with international credits to the American version of the credits.
Maybe the American version of the credits were just in fucking slow-mo.
Could have been. Could have been. Yeah. Who knows? It's but it could be a HBO thing, too, because we don't actually get HBO over here in Australia. We get Foxtel and...
Binge.
And, well, that's Foxtel.
Yeah.
So, I wonder if that's a thing there where they maybe just delete a whole bunch of HBO marketing credits out of it.
Possibly. Who knows?
But 10 minutes.
10 minutes is a long time.
Yeah.
We've missed out on something.
I think so. I want to know what we've missed out on.
It's probably just another unnecessary cameo from a character.
It's a Harley Quinn cameo.
It's a Harley Quinn cameo. Yeah. Anyway, who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Mate, what did you think? What did you think about the movie as a whole? Because there's a lot to unpack,
isn't there?
Like, I finished that movie, and look, I'm one of these people that it took two sittings to do.
Wow.
And that's not because I'm weak, okay? That's not because I can't sit down and watch a 4-hour movie straight. I watched 3 hours and 15 minutes of Endgame, or whatever it was. With no issues.
Is that a humble brag?
That is a humble brag. didn't pee once.
Wow.
But this one, I just started it very late.
Yeah. And so, that's the problem with it. Yeah. Like, you have to plan your whole day around watching this movie. And I know that sounds like a first world problem of,
That is a first world problem.
Set aside 4 hours of luxury time for myself.
Yeah.
Poor you.
To watch this movie that shouldn't have even come out.
But one thing I do want to say from the get-go is, after watching it for 4 hours, I think I would have preferred it to almost be those episodes now.
Yeah, okay.
Because I can then go back to like selected parts and just rewatch those parts that I really enjoyed the most.
Well, that's a pretty good point because I've tried to watch this movie for a second time.
Yeah.
And I just can't do it.
Mm.
Like, it's just, it's very, very, very long. And there is a lot of filler still in the movie. And it's hard to sit through like those parts to get to the parts that are good.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that you're just like, I just can't do it. So I've sat there for a second time and I've watched another hour of it, and that's taken me three settings.
Yeah, wow.
To get through that hour. And that, and look, and that's not necessarily to say the movie, like, I'm saying the movie is that shit, I can't watch it. I'm just saying there is a lot of stuff that I just don't want to have to sit through to get to the parts that I want to get through.
Yeah.
Because I guess my biggest point for this movie is 4 hours, right? Should have been three. Absolutely no reason why this movie... There is... Like, the theatrical cut of 2 hours is A, nonsense.
Oh, absolutely.
B, terrible.
And that makes me really question, like, what was Joss Whedon thinking with a lot of the character choices in that movie?
Well, I'd like to know...
Flash specifically.
Oh, man. Cyborg.
Yeah.
When you now see this 4 hour cut of this movie and realize how integral Cyborg is to the whole story, you're kind of going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, Joss?
And one thing I saw was a meme where it says Joss Whedon's version of The Flash saved a family.
Yeah.
And Zack Snyder saved the universe.
Yeah.
And it's like, well,
that's exactly
chalk and cheese. Like, how do you go from that creative decision of, like, turning this guy from, like, a wimpy dude into a dude that's like, I got to put my big boy pants on.
He's like a wimpy dude, but he eventually puts his big boy pants on. Mate, you just do it because you don't give a fuck.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Because someone's backed a truckload of money up. They're like, hey, this thing's too fucking dark. People are going to, you know, it's going to alienate people. So can you just throw some fucking jokes in there, bro? And hey, maybe just
have the Flash grab the Flash woman's boob.
Yeah. Yeah, fall into her lap.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. Weirdly.
Yeah.
God, there were some weird things in that theatrical cut.
It's like chalk and cheese, isn't it?
Now that you see this movie, you kind of look back on the theatrical cut and you're like, wow.
Yeah. It's, I don't know what happened to make that the original cut happen.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, my opinion is on this Snyder cut is miles better. Like, it is, like I've said it before, chalk and cheese, this movie is... So much better. It might be one of the best comic book movies that I've seen, but in saying that, you also have to look at this movie as not a normal movie. Like, it kind of breaks the rules for how movies are supposed to work. There's no three acts in this.
No, there's anymore. Six.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, kind of builds up, builds down. So, you know, to compare this to a normal movie is basically an impossible thing to do.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't follow traditional theater. In that sense of storytelling.
Well, it's not a traditional movie in how it all came to be.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Like just, this is a mythological creature. It is. This is like sighting a Bigfoot and then capturing it with a good resolution camera.
Impossible.
Impossible. And it's been done.
Hey, don't you know that Bigfoots emit like radio waves?
They're just blurry creatures, mate.
Just, blurry. Just naturally blurry. Yeah. Like, if you were to see one in real life, it's just a blur.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So there's crystal clear footage out there. It's just, you've captured a blurry.
Blurry fucking Bigfoot, because that's what they are.
That's all they are.
How unfortunate for them.
Imagine that. Imagine, like, actually explaining that.
Yeah, it's like, no, it's real. This is
That's what I saw.
That's what I saw.
Sure you did, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, lay off the drugs, kids.
Yeah, that's right. But I think to say, like, trying to compare that to the original is, it's kind of impossible.
Oh, you shouldn't.
You shouldn't. It's quite evident that this movie is vastly superior.
Yeah.
But to then go, well, how do you go about the pacing and comparing that? You can't, because... Each of the, it's almost like this is a mini series, and I think that's the way that you probably should look at it.
Yeah, look, I can definitely see that. And you're right in the sense that if it had have been released as a mini series, it probably the pacing would have been better.
Yeah,
released as a 4 hour movie, you're still looking at it and you're going, no, like there's probably a perfect cut of this movie somewhere. And I think it's around the 3-hour-ish mark.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more. Because there's just a lot of, like, filler. Like, there are some scenes that happen that... Like, who the fuck thought that we need an entire fucking sea shanty of, like, right after Aquaman jumps in the river in the ocean and fucking swims off? And then we're getting two full fucking verses of some, like, Icelandic sea shanty prior to moving on to the next scene.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think all of that is to just fluff up this whole, he's Aquaman, he's the best, and he's our savior.
Everyone loves him, and no one understands what this lady's fucking singing, but...
I would have loved some subtitles or something.
Some subtitles, yeah. It's like... there goes Aquaman.
He's so sexy. I want that dick.
There's a really big flaw in this movie, by the way.
What's that?
Continuity-wise.
Oh, well, this is the big gray area, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, it depends if we're talking about the same thing, because there's probably a few. but the one I'm talking about, just because we're talking about Aquaman. So there's a scene where, you know, Diana and Bruce Wayne are like looking at the thing, like the screen of the footage that they got from Lex Luthor from Aquaman. And they're like, oh, he's an Atlantean, you know, they're water breathers and fucking blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's going to be hard to.
And he's already got the trident
and the suit on and stuff like that. And then, you know, prior to that happening, there's a scene where, you know, none of it has actually happened at all. He hasn't even taken up his mother's trident. He hasn't done anything. He's still walking around just throwing shirts away.
Yeah.
Non-stop throwing shirts away to jump in the water.
I thought the same thing. I was like, hey, what do you hate clothes for? Why even wear them?
Why wear a shirt in the first place if you're just going to fucking throw it off and throw it in the water?
Also, it made me very uneasy to see that he's swimming in boots.
Yeah.
Like,
but you're going to drown, bro.
Oh, yucky. Yeah.
Could you imagine those boots, like how much they'd stink?
Oh, they'll be the worst. Yeah,
like
everything.
How gross his jeans would be.
Imagine what his toes are like.
Imagine swimming in jeans.
Oh.
Just because you're Aquaman doesn't mean you need
doesn't
to
mean
like...
You can.
Doesn't mean you can't. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Mm.
God damn it, Aquaman.
Just put
some Nike Pro fucking swim sleeves on. Yeah.
Go get some budgie smugglers or something.
Go get some budgie smugglers. Go get some Tony Abbott budgie smugglers.
Yeah.
That was a big glaring kind of, oh, hey, didn't anyone pick this up?
Yeah, there was a couple of things
that's just a small thing.
But I think like he had to work with what he got because,
yeah.
I mean, that was set up in BVS.
It was. That's my point, though.
Yeah.
So it was set up in BVS. They had already seen that footage in BVS. And then we get to Aquaman here. And what's the continuity? Like, where is this happening in the whole thing if he doesn't already have his trident and his bloody suit?
I guess you could also just look at it and go, maybe he got it, and then he was like, nah, fuck that, I don't want it no more.
So he got it, he threw it away,
yeah,
and fucking Willem Dafoe comes and picks it up, and he's like, mate,
you left this
behind.
Here's your shirts.
Yeah. Also, here's your 10-pack of Kmart shirts.
I did your shop. I did your washing for you.
Yeah. Anyway, who knows?
Yeah.
Look, that's just a nitpick. That's nothing. That's just something that I picked up.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, yeah.
So let's answer the big question before we really get into it. Did you enjoy the Snyder Cut?
Yes. Then we'll leave it at that. No, I did. I did. Watching it the first time, I found myself enjoying it, realizing how vastly superior it is to the theatrical cut, but that's a very low bar to jump.
Oh, yeah.
But while I was watching it, I still was very, very aware that it is far from a perfect movie.
Yeah.
So there are so many things that you still have to kind of question and go, like, what is this decision here? Like, why are you doing this? Why are you making this happen right now? And like I sort of said before, there are still some scenes that absolutely just don't matter and exist for the sake of creating a set piece that you can look at and go, oh, wow, that's cool. But you've got like a 7-minute scene built around that. And it's kind of, I'm talking about the Flash introduction scene, right? With Iris West and
stuff
it. Like
that. I thought that was amazing.
Look.
Because it showed like the humility of the character. It showed like the comedic aspect of it.
Hey.
It was, I don't know, I thought it was, I really liked it.
I think like, you know, it just gets to a point where, you know, you're looking at slow-mo sesame seed buns and, you
but
know, there's 40,000 like hot dogs flying through the air and, you know, stuff like that. Like, I was half expecting Iris West to be floating through the air and a hot dog to like slap her in the side of the face. Like, that's where I thought we were going with that. Which is totally weird, and I understand that's kind of, you know, sort of points towards the character. But it also makes absolutely no sense as to what is happening. Like, you know, there was this big thing about, oh, they cut Iris West out of the fucking thing. And then you look at what she was actually in, and it's legitimately that one scene that means nothing to the grand scheme of the movie.
What it does,
never
though,
mentioned again.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Like, that could have been Jane Doe from down the road.
Could have been fucking anyone.
Like, that's how I look at it. I just purely take that scene as exposition to show, hey, this is how powerful the Flash is, because it does a lot of things where it just shows that he can't have normal clothes or anything like that. Which, there's a couple of like glaring things that some things were really cool about it, and some things didn't make sense. Like when he turns and he busts out his shoe.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, cool, okay, so we understand that you just can't wear normal clothes.
Yeah.
But the rest of your clothes are fine.
The rest of your clothes are fine. Like, he needs to create a speed suit from fucking stuff that they use, that NASA's, like, astronauts use or whatever for re-entry and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. But his fucking hoodie is completely fine.
Yeah, exactly. You know what
I
mean? Exactly.
So, I don't know. I don't know how it works. Maybe it's like, I don't know how fucking long he has to use it for or whatever. But yeah, he busts out of his shoes initially. And this is my point. Like, that looks cool, but it makes fucking no sense. Like, when the rest of his clothes are completely perfect.
Yeah. The only thing I could think of, and this is just me absolutely fucking guessing, is that's where the talk of him starting happens. So, you know, that's where the most energy is expelled.
Sure.
Like, that makes sense. But then it's kind of like, well, makes me ask a couple of other questions. And, you know, I don't understand how the speedsters work in this universe, because sure, no one does. Maybe no Zack Snyder does.
I don't know.
But, like, when that happens, I wonder how fast he's actually moving. Like, is he moving faster than the speed of sound? Because if he is, shouldn't there be a sonic boom as well?
Yeah.
And
which would fuck everybody up.
Which will, yeah, you know, like, everyone may be deaf in that area. There might be windows smashed everywhere.
Yeah. But he had to smash a window.
Yeah, he had to smash a window.
Yeah.
So, it makes me wonder if there's, like, something connected to the Speed Force that adds, like, this level of protection to an environment.
Yeah.
But because his shoes are directly connected to him starting the whole procedure.
Sure. Look, again, it's not we probably don't need to spend half an hour talking about why the Flash busts out of his shoes, you know what I mean? Like, it's completely unnecessary, but it's just, you know, it's a thing, like, for the big deal that was made out of it.
Yeah.
I think there is one shot from a distance where the car has hit the truck and it's floating through the air and all of this stuff is happening and it's super, super, super slow-mo and it looks really cool.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Oh, it was just a cool scene.
Yeah.
But it did show, like, his power. It showed how he would perceive the world.
Yeah.
In his,
I get that.
In his moment. You can see he's so powerful that he's just kind of like walking and he's breaking the road.
Yeah.
And
how does that work?
Well, I guess that's just momentum.
Yeah. No, but does he have like really strong feet?
Yeah.
You know, but like, how doesn't he cut his feet up?
Well, who knows? Maybe it's
science.
Yeah. Maybe I'm sure there is something to it. You know, the fact that, you know, he is moving at great speed, that, you know, more weight is, that's what it is. It's, you know, the faster you move, the heavier it is. So,
hey, I need a science lesson.
Oh, sorry, buddy. I legitimately think this is the equation of E equals MC squared.
This is it.
Like, I legitimately think it is. Energy equals mass squared.
Sure.
So, take that as you will. And, so, I kind of lost where I was going there, but,
you were talking about, like, it shows sort of, you know, how powerful he is.
Yeah, and, exactly.
All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That's which is fine, completely fine, and I get that. It's just it's one of those things that, like, could we have lived without it? Sure, because you get plenty of times where you see sort of how powerful he is. The end of the movie, as an example.
Oh, I think it's needed though.
Oh, sure, like to establish the character, yeah. And look, and this is one of the things that this does, the Snyder Cut does a lot better than the theatrical release, and we probably shouldn't even compare it to the, like you said, it. You know, but what it does a lot better is that it actually, you know, gives you time with these characters, because you got 4 hours. It gives you a lot of time with these characters and it helps to develop them quite a lot more. Steppenwolf is a villain sort of understand what he was doing.
Yeah.
First one, no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are they in Russia or wherever?
What do you think of Steppenwolf? Like the way he looked, the way he carried himself out? Because let's talk about the characters.
Sure.
Because I think we're both under the same impression that this is vastly better than the original movie.
I will say this, and maybe this will come into, you know, when we're talking about the characters anyway. There is still a lot of work to be done with the CG
in some areas
yeah. of this movie.
I would agree.
And considering they've had the amount of time that they've had and the amount of money that they've had extra.
Yeah,
extra
there was some,
$70 million.
There was a couple of dodgy areas.
There were some areas where I'm like, ooh, boy.
Bit rough.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Cyborg.
Okay.
Because he is the heart of the movie. Completely did him dirty.
Oh, like did him dirty.
I can completely understand why he was the world's angriest man after that movie came out.
Oh, yeah. Even if, like, you know, you could start, you know, theorizing about, like, did that happen because of all of these problems that they were having behind the scenes and stuff like that. So did they make a conscious decision to go, you know what, fuck Ray Fisher.
Yeah.
We're going to cut him out of this fucking movie then.
And then it made the whole movie shit.
And it made it fucking made no sense.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, like, when you look at this character as a whole in the Snyder Cut and you're like, what the fuck were they doing in the first thing?
Yeah.
Like, he is so integral to the whole thing. To even just understand, you know, how his powers work and why he is doing what he's doing and, you know, and those sorts of things and what his motivation is and how he can connect with the mother boxes, like that sort of thing. It just, like, to make that decision to then turn around and go, nah, we don't need any of that. Like, who fucking made that decision?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. The connection that he has to these mother boxes was absolutely essential.
Yeah.
Because it was barely explained. Like, it was kind of said he was formed by a mother box.
I was formed by a mother box. I can fucking sniff them.
Yeah. And that was it.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's so much bigger than that.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, his character probably goes through the best overall sort of arc.
Oh man, you feel so sorry for this dude because his arc is fucked.
Yeah.
it's really shit.
Like like you think you've had like a bad run.
Yeah.
Mate, think about Cyborg.
Poor dude. Loses his mom.
Yeah.
And you know what, to be fair, I think he was really hard on his dad when he didn't need to be.
Like his dad dead set saved his life.
Yeah. But even before that, like just being like take this as you will, but a sooky teenager.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my dad didn't come to my football game.
Oh, dad's work, kid.
Oh, yeah. Get
where do you think you're fucking
a job, mate?
Yeah. Where do you think that fucking sick Gotham fucking City University Under Armour varsity jacket comes from?
Yeah, exactly.
You think that's free? No.
You notice the logo of that, like, pretty much in every
right
scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Man.
Pretty cool jacket, though.
It was a cool jacket. I'll buy one. Yeah, I'll buy two.
Okay, I'll buy two. I'll give you one.
Hey.
Hey.
And then I'll have three.
Yeah. So, you know, like, dad's fucking work, mate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I think they really leaned on that too much.
Yeah.
That didn't add anything to it. I guess it was probably to build up the whole, I'm his dad and I need to make it up to him.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to Frankenstein him now.
But he fucking hated him.
Yeah.
Like, he dead set hated him to the point that he wouldn't even listen to him talk on a fucking tape recorder.
You know why he's so angry?
Why?
He ain't got no dick.
You don't know.
He don't.
He's probably got a fucking robot dick now.
Yeah, that's true.
Better than a human dick.
He has a mother box dick.
He has a mother box. he's trying to put it in a mother box.
Yeah, that's
right.
You
know what I'm saying? yeah. Anyway, so you're right in the sense of, you know, leaned on it way too much.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, he had to go through that thing to, you know, where he eventually does lose his dad and realizes that, hey, that guy was fucking, he was all right.
Yeah, he wasn't too bad.
He was just trying to buy me jackets.
He basically killed himself to put the mother box in a microwave to make it hot.
Yeah.
Personally, I think that was a fucking long leap to make that connection.
Hey, man, when you're Cyborg, you can fucking do anything, yeah. Apparently.
What do you think of Cyborg's view of the world?
I guess I didn't mind it, just purely because I don't know how else you would really,
yeah,
you know, visualize that sort of thing. Did we need the giant bulls and the giant bears, like, butting heads to show that he can control finances? Probably not. Did we need the weird landscape.
Money towers.
And- yeah, similar to like a Dr. Manhattan kind of thing on fucking Mars or wherever he was doing whatever he was doing, making some weird things. Probably not.
I thought it was good because it would... I think it shows a tortured soul. Like, that's how he just views the world.
Yeah.
Like, an unlimited knowledge of everyone.
Yeah. I like the fact that, you know, he kind of... Like, when it did do it, he sort of saw himself how he wanted to be and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Like, there were very cool parts.
Mm.
Or he gave that lady a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
And stuff like... I'm like, that's cool.
Someone lost their job over that.
Someone lost their job.
Like,
someone
the IT
at the
guys.
Fucking someone at the bank got fucking fired and are now in exactly the same position because he decided to give that woman $100,000.
Yeah, absolutely.
Way to go, Cyborg, you jerk.
I wanted to see Bruce Wayne's tower.
Oof. Like, did you see it? There's a shot of it from a distance.
Oh, no, I mean like his money tower.
Oh, his money tower.
Compared
he would have been one of the... some of the big, big stacks in the background. You got that big bank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been sad for the rest of us. Let's talk about... Oh, do you want to keep talking about Cyborg?
Nah.
You done?
Nah,
done. Done. Fuck him. More I talk about him, more I realize.
I'm more done with him than Warner Brothers is.
All right. Well, I guess we sort of spoke about The Flash.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about it quickly because he does have probably the biggest...
Most important role. Yeah.
And that is saving the entire universe.
Yes. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, what'd you hate about it?
It's just how do you go from, like, I can barely run and fucking not fall over to now I just need to run faster than the speed of light and turn back time and fucking save the world.
Well, he wasn't clumsy in this movie.
He was. He fell over 3 fucking times. He did.
But it wasn't played up to be like, oh, I'm clumsy. I think those were just incidents of the...
He still tripped over that step when he fought Superman, when Superman first came back. He still tripped.
I'll have to go rewatch that.
He tripped
that
somewhere.
Scene. He got pushed by Superman into Aquaman.
Yeah.
That's what happened there.
Yeah, but no. There's a dead set scene somewhere where he still trips. Oh, I think it might be when they're in the under the Gotham Harbor.
Yeah, it was. It was in there.
Yeah, he trips.
Because it doesn't make sense for him to trip then, if you think of how well he knows his powers.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I get what you mean because his time is so much slower.
Yeah.
There's no other way to say it. Yeah, what are you tripping for?
That'd be like me walking and just tripping. Well, actually, that happens.
That happens. Okay, happens all the time.
All right, Flash.
Yeah, you got me. You
clumsy bitch.
But I really like the way that the Speed Force works in this.
Yeah.
In the sense, like, the way that he was rewinding time, because it's kind of like the world was actually gone.
Yeah.
And with each step going back, he was rebuilding it.
Yeah. Yeah. But remember how angry people were in, like, Superman 2, where he flew around the opposite, like, side of the... Like, the opposite axis of the world.
Yeah.
And, like, turned the world backwards and turned back time and saved Lois Lane. And people were like, that's the fucking shittest thing I've ever seen in my life. That's so dumb. But we're happy with The Flash doing it. We're happy with The Flash running so fast just on regular ground that he's recreating the Earth.
Well, no, because he was, like, basically running in space.
Wherever he was running. You know what I mean? I think it was handy, wasn't it? It was handy to make that happen.
It's pretty handy to have a speedster who can turn back time on your team.
Yeah, exactly. speaking of handy... let's talk about the, I don't know if we'll go here yet. Superman. Let's talk about Superman.
Okay.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than 1 billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
What did you think of everything that happened?
He wasn't overly different until the last 10% of the movie.
Yeah. Also, they color changed his suit.
Yeah.
But other than that.
Yeah, I think it was fine. he's not really the highlight of the movie, even though like he is like the MacGuffin of the movie.
Yeah. Well, you know what he is. He's the fucking deus ex machina of the movie.
Yeah.
He's the god in the machine. He's the fucking plot device that when shit gets so bad, you just need something to turn around and go, this'll fix it. Yeah.
Get the Superman.
Get me a Superman.
Yeah.
And he comes in and just starts slapping shit around.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, fuck, we can actually fight too.
Yeah. I know. It's still the flaw of the final scene is like everyone is completely underpowered.
Yeah.
Which is weird because, you know, you think of Wonder Woman earlier in this movie and she's absolutely a beast, but it's kind of like once Superman turns up, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually do something now.
Yeah, it's weird, man. It's like they show her going toe-to-toe with Steppenwolf. And sure, she gets slapped around a bit and whatever, but she does some slapping as well. And then all of a sudden, her plus Aquaman plus fucking Batman plus Flash plus Cyborg can't beat Steppenwolf.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, you know, Superman comes in and he's like, well, I'm more powerful than all of you together times five. And I'm just going to punch this dude once.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kick his horn off his head.
No, he lasered it off. Yeah.
You know, but
pretty cool to see Superman be like that ruthless.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of like just savage as cutting someone's like part of someone's head off.
Yeah, pretty much. This is a killer Superman though. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
They established that early that he's not afraid he's to not snap your, someone's neck. He's not
your average Superman.
This isn't your granddaddy Superman, yeah. Kids. He will fucking... I laser your horns off.
Yeah.
How did he know what was happening?
Because he went and saw Alfred.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so I forgot that. I dare say Alfred like gave him a rundown, gave him a live preview. It was live streamed on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's flying there to join the battle and just watching it on his phone.
Yeah.
But very like how did he know to go to Alfred though when it's like
who the fuck is Alfred to him?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like that. I don't know. Maybe there's been some exposition before that.
Oh, you want to talk about exposition? Fuck me dead. This was probably my biggest problem with the movie.
That's what this whole movie was.
I had two problems with this movie. Two real problems with this movie. One, excessive fucking slow-mo. Doing my absolute fucking head in. There, like, I read a stat that something like 10% of the movie is in slow-mo.
Yeah.
Which, when you break it down, is about 24 minutes.
Not bad.
24 minutes of slow-mo. And inside some of that slow-mo is super slow-mo. Like when we're watching fucking Cyborg play football and it's going from slow-mo to super slow-mo, like jumps and spins and shit, you're like, guy, fucking just play it at normal speed. Go normal speed, then into slow-mo. You don't go slow-mo to super slow-mo. That was one of my problems. The other problem that I had is the fucking amount of exposition that is needed in this movie to keep the fucking viewer like understanding what is happening.
Yeah.
There's the entire fucking original Darkseid battle scene that fucking Gal Gadot is reading off a piece of paper as she is explaining it to fucking Bruce Wayne, basically.
Pretty amazing battle scene, though.
Look, it was pretty good, but fuck, they won pretty quickly, didn't they?
It makes you realize that must have been a pretty young version of Darkseid.
Teenage Darkseid.
Yeah. Like
just angsty teen.
Yeah. Yep. But to have all that power is unbelievable. What confuses me, and this is actually something that wasn't played out, is that how did he not realize that the anti-life equation was on that Earth?
If he had already been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes no sense.
Like, did he forget?
Maybe he forgot.
Maybe. Like, the battle made him amnesia.
Amnesia. Convenient amnesia. Yeah.
Bold and the Beautiful style storyline there. But I just didn't get it. Like, how was he not aware that it was there? Maybe he didn't. Because I don't even know how Steppenwolf figured it out overly. Because it's kind of like he touched the mother box and did the mother box tell him?
Yeah.
Like, is that it? Like,
well, this is my point. There are still things in a four-hour-long cut of this movie, there are still things that don't make sense.
Yeah.
And that has always been my biggest problem with Zack Snyder. Okay. It's not the fact that he can't create something that looks visually amazing, because we know he can do that. And we've seen it time and time again, right? What he can't do is create a fucking cohesive story.
Even he's always battling time.
He's always battling time. Like, give this guy fucking 8 hours and he might be able to give you everything that you need.
But he'll want to put more in. He's like cursed by his own creativity.
Yeah. But the way he's going to deliver it to you is through like exposition, basically. Yeah. It's through a character explaining it to you step by step.
Yeah.
Not through it coming out organically through the story, which is frustrating.
Mm.
Let's talk about Bruce Wayne and Diana Prince and their little thing that they
There's something going on there. Yeah, a little something, something.
Hand touchy business. Yeah.
Needed?
No.
Nah. Man, she'd break his pelvis.
Well, he's old man Batman too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, to be fair, as Cyborg said, she is 5,000 years old.
She's 5,000 years
old. That was true. A good joke too.
That was a good joke.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, well, let's not talk about that because we...
That's weird.
We don't need to talk about it. It's weird. I don't know why they were trying to push that agenda. Did you hear the original thing? Zack Snyder apparently wanted to try to create a romantic relationship between Bruce Wayne and Lois Lane.
Yes. Yeah.
That would have made less sense, obviously.
Maybe it would have been like a grieving of like two people grieving and finding...
What the fuck is he grieving for?
Who knows?
Like grieving to the point that he needs to go... fucking bang Lois Lane.
Well, no, but he could have just, you know, they could have made
it. He lost his parents. Well, I suppose. He's still grieving at 50 over losing his parents as a kid.
It's yeah.
Like, get over it, man.
But the big age difference potentially between Lois Lane and Bruce Wayne there. 20 years, potentially.
Not as big as between him and Diana Prince.
Yeah. But, look, I really loved Wonder Woman in this movie. Like, this makes me go, what the hell happened to Wonder Woman in all the other movies?
Apart from the original Wonder Woman.
Yeah, apart from the original one.
Yep.
Because this Wonder Woman is... This is what Wonder Woman needs to be because, you know, Wonder Woman is ruthless.
Yep.
She's powerful. She's like... She don't care. She'll do what she needs to do to make sure the job is done.
She'll cut Steppenwolf's head off his neck.
And she'll, like, explode that bank, dude.
She don't give a fuck.
Yeah. She'll, like, destroy that whole side of the building.
She almost caused more damage
than the bomb would have.
Doing that. Let's be fair.
Yeah.
I loved everything about her.
Yeah, so did I.
Except...
Oh, come on. What?
Except the fucking score. What the fuck was up every single time
she did
a move?
Yeah.
There was some weird like...
That was dumb.
Every fucking time. Like every time.
And you know what? You notice it the most in that last quarter of the movie when they're all fighting because it'll play Aquaman's theme, then her theme, and then, yeah, it was that really weird like Greek song.
Yeah, singing thing or whatever. But it's like, it's legitimately fine. Do it the first time she fucking shows up.
But it was like...
Every time she came on screen, they would play that fucking thing and it was doing my fucking head in.
Me too.
It was honestly making me go like, it was taking me out of the movie. I'm like, it's fucking back.
Yeah.
No,
I agree with you 100% on that. That really was a really weird choice by whoever. The composer to do that.
I guess it was Junkie XL
maybe
making that decision.
He's like, oh, I made another sweet little riff, but it's the same riff that we played 10 seconds ago when she was on screen.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you're not playing that again, are you?
Yeah, but that's exactly it. We're like, you say 10 seconds, I say 5.
Yeah, maybe.
I say it goes, like, she comes on, does something, that thing plays, flash to something else, that happens, flash back to her, she does a flip, same fucking thing plays. Man, fuck me, dead.
Yeah.
Excuse my language. Like, but...
That was shit.
Holy crap, that was making me wild.
Yeah, and... I guess if that's the worst thing about that character is that the score was a bit weird.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good.
Well, yeah, but it was bad to a point, like I said, that it was taking me out of the movie.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah, it completely took me out as well.
So
good to see that we both hate that shit.
Other than that, though, she was great.
Yeah, I loved how in that bank scene, she's just like, bam, dude, you're dead up against that wall that's 50 meters away. Like, you just have to think of the power of, like, that person has to get hit to get thrown that far.
Yeah.
And then to blood splatter on the wall.
Which is another, like, weird choice from old Weedy boy, Joss Whedon, to, like, really kind of, like, PG up that whole thing.
Yeah.
And, like, and make it so it's like, oh, hey, Wonder Woman's just having a bit of fun.
Yeah, having a bit of a laugh.
You know,
mate.
They're trying to kill these kids, but then they're never going to actually kill these kids. And then you come to this movie and, like, I'm surprised they didn't actually just kill a kid.
Oh, man, I thought they were going to, like, at least off one of them.
Yeah, but no.
Or at least a teacher.
Someone.
Yeah, because, like, the tone is set from the get-go. It's like, get the fuck over there.
Well, they just walk in and they just start, like, killing people straight up. They, like, shoot that guard in the back of the head and they just, like, start killing
ooh,
people.
This is different.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that wasn't in the fucking Whedon cut, was it?
So, and then just how she goes through the rest of the movie. Like, again, she does fall to the final battle scene of needing the Superman character.
Which is shit.
But before, absolutely ruthless and loved her.
Also, I appreciate the lack of...
Ass shots. Yeah, me
upskirt
too.
Shots.
Because, this sounds weird, but I was looking for them.
Oh, me too.
Because I was like, they're going
to
do it.
Well, I genuinely wanted to see if it was,
you
know, like a Joss Whedon thing, or those shots were already in there. Yeah. And fucking the dude is a perv.
Man, big time.
What a fucking pervy dude.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Come on, and man.
I remember.
The signs were there the whole time.
Oh, man.
We should have known.
We should have known. And I remember from the first movie, there was like this scene where like Wonder Woman was like basically... Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong movie, but I swear there was a scene where she was like thrown on the ground and she's basically spread-legged and she smiles and it's like, we're going to fight again.
No, that was Batman versus Superman.
It was Batman versus Superman?
That was a choice that Zack Snyder made that time.
Creepy dude.
Creepy dude. You're all creeps.
How dare you?
You all need Jesus.
Yeah. Who else is
Bruce
left?
Wayne.
Bruce Wayne.
Oh, Brucey boy.
This
Ben
Bruce-
Affleck is 1,000%. The best fucking Batman,
easy.
I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, I love everything about this Batman, and I want to see, I really hope he does come back to do more. I think he will.
Even if it's just a Flash movie,
yeah,
just to
just
finish it off.
Yeah,
just
wrap him up.
Yeah.
Wrap him up, like let him do a massive sacrifice or something.
Something. And then we'll get Robert Pattinson's Batman.
Yeah.
But yeah, watching this movie, the biggest like takeaway that I had is my sadness for not actually getting to see a standalone Ben Affleck Batman.
Absolutely.
Movie.
Doesn't that like that's the biggest thing out of this.
Yeah.
It's just we're not really gonna get that anymore.
Waste.
Potentially.
Yeah. Well. We'll talk about that next week, pal. but yeah, so I don't know, man. I think he was great. I think okay, look, there's a couple of things that we need to cover off before we go into our overall thoughts and wrap it up, right?
Yes.
We got a couple of little bonus characters, a couple of little bonus scenes in this as well. Tell me your thoughts first off on the Martian Manhunter.
I fucking jizzed my dick off. Like, because...
Just off.
Like, it blew off, man. It was like... It was a SpaceX rocket. Off it went.
Yep.
Off to feed the International Space Station. it was... It blew my mind because I knew he was going to be in the movie, but I honestly wasn't expecting there.
Yeah.
Do
you ever consider, like, the conversation that Martha and Lois had later on?
Yeah.
Where she's like, oh, thank you so much for coming around and talking me off that ledge and, you know, like, bring me out. Martha's like, what?
Yeah, no.
Bitch, that one me.
But I think he was wasted in that scene. Like, that didn't need to be in the movie. Like, I loved it.
Yeah.
But it took away from that scene at the end because I think that scene at the end could have been done so much better.
Oh, the scene at the end was trash, bro.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it could have been the general coming up and saying, we know you're Batman.
Yeah.
And, we need to have a talk. And then he turns into the Martian Manhunter and he's like, hey, can I join your club?
Yeah. There's a couple of things, like, from that whole thing that makes zero sense. And I guess the biggest one is that an alien just rocks up to Bruce Wayne's house and Bruce Wayne's just like, fuck yeah, boy, get on board. You know what I mean? Like, he was fully ready to try to kill Superman.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there would have been news articles about how Superman had been saving people.
Absolutely.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
And he's just like, fuck this alien, boy, I'm going to kill him. And then this fucking green guy comes and he's just like, yeah, boy, jump on the team. Let's go.
Yeah.
Get in my fucking bat hovercraft thing.
But don't bring a lighter with you. I hate fire.
Yeah. So that was weird.
Mm.
That's not how a Bruce Wayne would be at all.
Yeah.
And second, man, that's like, I feel like I wrote that script. for that scene.
Yeah, it was like, pretty.
It was pretty bad.
Pretty average, hey.
They call me
the Martian.
The Martian Manhunter.
Couldn't you just say my name's John Jones? Yeah. Like, don't say Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, we know who you are, boy.
Yeah, you don't need to do that. That's almost like saying, "What are you, some kind of Justice League?" Yeah.
Oh, we were a step away from getting that at some
not
point.
Not far, not far, far out. But yeah, I don't know. That last scene was just, you can tell that was tacked on.
Oh, yeah.
And it even feels like that Bruce Wayne was a different person. Because that didn't look like Ben Affleck. It was too slim.
It was Ben Affleck.
Oh, man. I don't know. I kept looking at him.
That was definitely Ben Affleck, but it might have been shot like months or months because
he looked
after.
A lot thinner.
Yeah. He probably like slimmed down.
Yeah.
You know, from smoking all these fucking durries and,
yeah.
and gambling and whatnot. But the other thing that makes no sense is that if he knows all of this is happening, if the Martian Manhunter knows all of this is happening, why the fuck wasn't he involved in the first place?
I guess he felt like he wasn't needed because I don't know, because it's really odd. And the thing is, he's a general for the US military, like very, very high level.
Yeah.
So he obviously has like some sense of care and duty for at least that nation.
Well, he was around prior to Superman being brought back because he went to Lois and said, "Hey, get off your ass, woman, and you know, the world needs you.
Apparently. Go resurrect
the world needs the world's greatest journalist to come back."
It's like he knew the future too.
Well, yeah, look, and that's kind of my point. Like if he knew everything that was happening, why didn't he try to make himself known and go, "Hey, I could probably help out."
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm somewhat of a Martian Manhunter.
Mm. There's every chance that he is just legitimately off battling other things.
Oh, because you could use that excuse for fucking everything.
Absolutely.
Why didn't Green Lantern show up?
100%. Like, that's actually a legitimate thing.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, you know, there's potentially a couple of other Kryptonians out in this world. And, like, maybe he is just trying to track them down.
Maybe. Maybe he's trying to form some sort of Justice League.
Maybe.
Let's talk about the end nightmare scene.
Oh, okay. Because this is... press a button. Trigger City. Okay. What do you think of what's going on here?
I will be honest with you. I hate all of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
All of it. There's a part of me that wants to, like, I would really like to see where that whole thing went.
Yeah.
Not like that. That was trash. That was stuff that was obviously done last second, and like fucking Zack Snyder just got out a fucking cocktail napkin and just started writing down cheesy lines and, "Oh yeah, and Joker says he's going to give Batman a hand job," and then fucking, you know, all this sort of stuff. And
reach around,
whatever it was.
Yeah.
Same diff, mate.
Mm.
and it's just kind of like, "Oh, let's make Batman edgy. He'll say fuck. He'll say, 'Oh, I'm going to kill you,' and all this sort of stuff." And it's just, you know, it's like, what is the point? And like, and he makes mention that, you know, like, I think Deathstroke says something to him about, like, "Why do you keep this guy around?" And he's like, "We need him." For what? Why? You are battling evil Superman. What the fuck is the Joker going to do? He is one level below useless that Batman is, because Batman's just a regular fucking human, as is Deathstroke.
Yeah. Like, I really like that whole Motley Crue idea of kind of heroes and villains banding together for a greater good.
Hashtag not my crew.
Not my crew. Wow. because there is such a unique mix in there.
Yeah.
Why is Cyborg wearing, like, a coverall? I don't understand. It's like,
is that what he was wearing?
Yeah, it was kind of like a, I don't know, a potato sack.
Is he just trying to like hide? Or
oh,
something?
Maybe.
Just like to try to blend in.
Yeah, I guess you are
made
of metal.
You're seven foot tall.
You're pretty shiny too.
Yeah.
but the whole crew kind of going through the desert during the day, I don't know. It's all exposition there, but I liked it. Why the Joker is there, I'm not sure, but I really liked that Joker, because it kind of answered a lot of questions about what that relationship between the Batman and the Joker is that we've never got. Because I think that's technically the first time they've been in a scene together.
Who?
The Batman and the Joker.
Ever.
ever in this new DC universe.
Oh yeah. There's a scene in Suicide Squad where he's definitely with Harley Quinn, but I don't think he's with the Joker at that point in time. But yeah, whatever.
So it's kind of like it was this weird world where these two know each other.
Yeah.
He's killed the Robin.
Yeah.
Or the Boy Wonder, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
But we never seen anything from that. And now we get this like confirmation, yeah, these two hate each other.
Or do they?
Or do they?
Or do they want to?
They want to bang.
They want to bang.
Yeah, they want to bang.
Yeah, look, that's fine. I mean, I feel like this scene's going to be very much you either loved everything about it or you are me and you hate everything about it. There's not a thing that I take away from that other than I think it would be cool to explore that world, just not like that. Certainly not with some of those characters. Definitely don't need British Mirror, fucking Amber Heard in the movie for whatever reason. Like if Aquaman died, what's she going to do?
She's a pretty powerful character.
I know she's pretty powerful. She's so powerful that her accent changes.
Yeah, all throughout the movie.
All throughout the movie and throughout other movies.
Yeah. Just quickly on her, I do love how she was like sucking the blood out of Steppenwolf. And it's like, bitch, just do that quicker. Yeah.
You're winning. Yeah, doing that.
Just like do it better.
Okay, that's fine. We do need to wrap it up at some point. We've been going on for a while.
Okay.
I do just want to say very quickly that I fucking hate the fact that they have to create bubbles every time they want to talk in this world. That's wild to me that was a choice. Could you imagine every time you wanted to have a conversation with someone, you had to just give me a sec. I just got to create this fucking air bubble.
Yeah. You know what I do like, though, is that when you do see the Atlanteans talking to each other, it's like squeaks and like clicks and stuff like that.
That was horrible.
No, because if you think of it, like it's potentially just another language. And
sure.
And then you can, you know, you go on to say, well, what about Aquaman? And it's, well, it's, you can just say it's translated. I dig it. I really dig it.
You know what I dig? And I didn't really like that movie either, but I dug James Wan's version where they just fucking talk to each other. Yeah, if they can breathe underwater and if they can fucking survive the pressure of the deep and all this sort of stuff, they can fucking talk like normal human beings.
Nah, I dug it. I think it's two different user cases there because Atlanteans talking to each other is different to, I don't know, Atlanteans talking to Aquaman, who's also half Atlantean. So, my case has fallen.
It's fallen apart. All right, look, we've been going on for a while. So let's wrap it up.
Okay.
Overall thoughts on the movie. If you were to give this a score out of 10, what would you give it?
I'll probably give it a 9 out of 10. I really enjoyed it.
Excuse me?
Yeah, no, really.
Damn.
Because I think what they did was so different from everything else that we've ever gotten, and we'll never see another movie like this. Like it plays in its own field. It's got its own set of rules, and for that, it's almost a perfect movie in that case. The thing that does let it down is just there is a lot of unnecessary filler for what it was.
Yeah.
And there would have just been things that could have been done differently to make it better,
yeah.
Rather than it just being a little bit showy for the sake of it being showy, but overall, I thought it was an incredible movie. I hope they release it into kind of mini episodes, so I can go back and just smash them out like on a nightly basis.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this: you're not a man who goes back and rewatches movies. Is this a movie you would revisit?
Yeah, 100%. If I could get it in that episode format. I mean, I could go and fast forward through it, but
it's a hard slog, man.
Yeah.
Me, I hear you ask.
Yes. What's your rating for it?
Mine is a very solid 7.5.
Oh wow, that's actually way higher than I thought you'd give it.
Higher than you'd thought. And the reason why I do that is because there is a lot to enjoy.
Yeah.
It's honestly between a 7 and a 7.5. It's somewhere in between those two. But for me, there is just way too much left in that doesn't need to be there. And I think, you know, this movie gets a bump up if all of that stuff is removed. But there's some stuff that's just very questionable. And I feel like even at 7, 7.5, I'm probably being generous just because I feel bad for the trash I've given this thing over the last sort of 3 years. But Look, I can't say that I sat there for 4 hours and hated my life, because I didn't. And that's the god-awful truth. I had a pretty good time with it. I don't think this should have been the movie that we got 3 years ago either. I think if we got that then, I don't think it would have been received as well as it has been now. I think people would have kind of gone, this is fucking way too long, bro.
Yeah, this is a product of its situation.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's that. It can't fit anywhere else other than where it sits.
Yeah, exactly. And for that reason, and that reason alone, it probably gets a higher score than it would if I had have watched this without all the other shit surrounding it.
I wonder if there's going to be a fan cut.
Come on, no more cuts.
No, because I think a fan cut could be made of this to just cut out the... Like, you don't need the stuff for Barry's dad in there at all.
Probably not.
You don't need any stuff like any of that filler. You don't need that first Martian Manhunter scene.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of stuff with Lois that can get cut, like the whole thing of her seeing the bloody cop every day and giving him coffee. Unnecessary.
Yeah. Just the complete unnecessary ponderous shots that linger way too long, the slow-mo that drags out when it's not necessary, the slow-mo that slow-mos into super slow-mo. There are heaps and heaps of things that you could get rid of. And maybe if someone does it, I'll probably give it a watch. Like, if somebody can get this movie down to 3 hours,
yeah,
I'll certainly give it another try. 4 hours as it is, like I said to you at the start, I've tried to watch it again, and I can't. And, you know, does that mean it deserves a lower score? I don't know. We'll see in the future. but that is it, my friend. We are done here. Anything else you want to say in relation to this?
No, I think the only thing I would add to this is I'd love to see this turned into a mini-series.
Yep.
And then potentially continued on, but that's for another episode.
That is for another episode. Speaking of another episodes, we'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can leave a review, you can tell a friend, whatnot. Make sure you join us on the Facebook listener community. All you need to do is search the Facebook listener community. Search Comic Confidential listener community on Facebook, goddammit. You know where it is.
You'll find the links in the show notes.
That's right. And we're also part of the CC Radio Network, aren't we? There.
Check out the other podcasts. Yeah. There's this one. There's The Countdown, and there's Believe With Me. And
Believe With Me.
Believe With Me.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Believe With Me with Cade Moyer. Yeah. Mate, you missed the boat there.
I know. I'll rebrand it.
Anyway, thanks for listening. As always, I'm Troy.
I'm Cade.
And this has been Comic Confidential.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.